So we're going to do things in the next number of chapters that are a little bit different. We'll go back and forth with the verses because they're less concentrated of a story. And secondly, I will presume to go ahead and read those verses that have crazy names. Okay? So, somebody, verse 1.
Abraham had taken another wife, whose name was Keturah.
Okay. She bore him Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. Jokshan fathered Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Dedan were Ashurim, Letushim, and Lumim. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanak, Abida, and Elda. All these were the children of Keturah. So, he actually had 7 sons.
After 80.
Hmm?
After being 80 years
yeah,
old,
he's
right?
Old.
Yeah, yeah. Remember, Isaac was born when he was about 100.
Yeah.
Just round that off, about 100. When was Ishmael born? Close to 90. And keep those numbers in mind. They'll come back into play in a few verses. So verse 3. Verse 5.
And Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac.
Mm-hmm. But to the sons of his concubines, Abraham gave gifts. And while he was still living, he sent them away from his son Isaac eastward to the east country. Now, who are the sons of his concubines? And that's plural. And is there something we don't know that isn't being said in these verses? You know what the answer is? I don't know. Anyway, this is after he's 100 years old. Verse 7.
Although Abraham lived 175 years.
Mm-hmm.
Altogether.
Yeah, altogether. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. So 175 years old. How old then was Isaac?
When he died.
Yeah,
75. How old Ishmael? About 85. Okay. And then verse 9.
Isaac and Ishmael, his sons, buried him in the cave of
Machpelah,
in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, east of Mamre.
Okay. So that's where Sarah was buried. Who buried him?
The sons. Ishmael and Isaac.
Isaac and Ishmael. Now, this is the first dive in just a little bit, because there's some things that maybe information we gloss over. Is this an indication that there was a good relationship between Isaac and Ishmael?
I think so.
Better than you normally think. Is this an indication that there was a good relationship with Abraham and Ishmael?
Yeah.
So even though Hagar disrespected Sarah and they got sent away, Abraham still stayed in contact, cared for Ishmael and his mother Hagar. Okay. Oh. The field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites, where Abraham was buried with Sarah, his wife. After the death of Abraham, God blessed Isaac, his son, and Isaac settled at Beer Lahairoi. Okay? So, we're told where Isaac is settling in. And then Here we go. Somebody, verse 12.
These are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's servant, bore to Abraham.
Mm-hmm. These are the names of the sons of Ishmael named in order of their birth: Nebaioth, the firstborn of Ishmael, and Kedar, Abdil, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tima, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedema. Okay.
That's
why big families. Verse 16.
These were the sons of Ishmael, and these are the names of the 12 tribal rulers according to their settlements and camps.
Mm-hmm. So Ishmael has children, and his children become tribes.
12.
Is there 12?
That's 12.
Ishmael, Kedar, Abdil, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tima, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedema. Am I counting wrong? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Try it again. Nebaioth, Kedar, Abdil, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Masa, Hadad, Tima, Jetur, Naphish, Kedema. Yeah, 12. Another thing I had not noticed. These are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. He breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people. Oh, better read verse 18 too. They settled from Havilah to Shur, which is opposite Egypt in the direction of Assyria. He settled over against all his kinsmen. I'm going to close this door out here because it's letting in the humidity.
Did you get
there? There's no instructions.
Yeah.
Keep the air conditioning working at its best. Okay. And there we are. So we get back to the main line. Somebody, verse 19.
This is the genealogy of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac.
Okay. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. So when... when Isaac is 40 years old, then Abraham is how old?
140.
35 years left. Mm-hmm. Okay. Verse 21.
Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord.
And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. The two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger."
Okay.
Servants or slaves?
No. Dominance and lording it over. Who's going to be the dominant nation? But then there is also a prediction for the future. It will be Jacob and Esau. And the Jews take from there that the Jews will be masters and the Gentiles be slaves in the resurrection. That's not good. Okay. That carries it just a bit too far, because the national pride bleeds over into interpretation of the Bible, and that should not happen. Not with us either. But, verse 24, and the struggling between the two then carries over into the two kings born in Israel, rivals to each other, one of them a baby born in Bethlehem, the other a king in his palace in Jerusalem. Who will serve who? And Herod knows about these prophecies, because he is Herod the Idumean. Idumean means half Jew, half Edomite. Verse 24.
When her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb.
Yeah. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau, which apparently means red. Verse 26.
After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel, so he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them.
Tricky Jacob.
Okay, Isaac was 60 years old. How old was Abraham?
160.
And because he lived 175, you got to see 15 years of Jacob and Esau. Footnote, Jacob means what?
Tricky.
He deceives. My Bible says he grasps the heel.
He takes by the heel, or he cheats. Interesting name to have and carry through life.
Isn't that kind of strange to have a child like that?
I mean,
grasping
the heel?
Now red and hairy.
Yeah.
What would you think about that? I mean, like... there's some things we just don't know.
Yeah. What's the old wives' tale about a child with a lot of hair and what it's like?
Get heartburn.
Heartburn. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Either now or after they're born.
But, and the children struggled within her. She said, if this is thus, why is this happening to me? So she's got the kids fighting, and they're not even born, and she's probably got heartburn.
No doubt.
Okay. Let's see. 27.
It's already in the womb. So the boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, dwelling in tents.
Okay. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So the family is divided.
Strange already.
Yeah. Who's your favorite child? It depends on what they're doing lately.
Depends on the day.
No kidding.
Yeah. Okay. 29.
Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open countryside, famished.
Mm-hmm. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stew, for I am exhausted." Therefore his name was called Edom. 31.
Jacob said, "Sell me your birthright now."
Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" What? 33.
But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob.
And then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. And that tells the tale.
Hating it and taking it for granted, I mean.
Yeah.
Despise, it means like...
What use is it?
Hate it.
Treat it as nothing. Yeah. Unimportant.
Unimportant.
Yeah. It's not so much that he hated as that he...
Yeah, no, but that translation...
Who cares?
I don't like
who cares?
Despised, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a good translation. Mm.
He disrespected.
And his birthright is just the fact that he was born first and was entitled to. I mean, can you talk a little bit?
He was entitled to. What was he entitled to? The inheritance, the blessing, the line to pass down through him.
The farm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe he didn't think that counted because they didn't cut some animal in half and walk between it. Yeah. It was in the kitchen. You know, I mean, seriously, maybe he just thought, oh, whatever, okay, fine, give me some stew.
He was hangry at that moment.
He was hangry. He turned into a Snickers bar.
So it's time to feed me. I don't care.
It's kind of funny, the footnote here in the study Bible says Esau's ongoing speech shows that he was not near death. Rather, he demonstrated an overdramatic and careless disregard for the right to be the firstborn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It seems like a strange time to bring that up, isn't it?
Time, meaning what?
Tricky Jacob.
Jacob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how long has he been contemplating this?
Yeah,
and there's...
Among the tens.
To say that...
If you're Tricky Jacob, there's never a wrong time to spring it.
To manipulate.
Mm-hmm. Now, he is the second born, but he desires that birthright.
So he must have been thinking about it for a while.
Right.
What is...
Does it make him wiser?
What are the conversations between Isaac and Esau? Hunting and... such and such. What are the conversations between Rebecca and Jacob? The family stories, the family history.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The stories of
relationship
Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, and Abraham leaving his family home, and Rebecca was there, remember?
Mm-hmm.
She was back at the family home when that's when Abraham's servant finds her. She's back there, back on the family farm. And the family memory is of Abraham leaving. Why is he leaving? Promised land. And all of this comes into play. And this is passed down to Jacob, and Jacob receives it willingly and eagerly and treasures it. And he looks over at Esau.
Slurping his soup.
Basically, yeah.
With his bean bag on.
And Esau doesn't care. Somebody's got to take it and treasure it, right?
Right.
The family heirlooms that come passed down. Mm-hmm. And... You know, in a family where some of the children, well, who cares about that? That grandma's, so what? And another child says, this is a treasured memory. I'll keep it.
Put your name on it.
Yeah.
So, just to flesh out the dynamics of what's going on here.
Well, the other thing is, it's interesting that our heroes were not pure. Our heroes of the faith had a lot of things that they did that would be considered mean or bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or that we can relate to.
Yeah, well, that too. Right.
They are mixed.
We can't help it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good point.
Yeah.
Because when I tricky Jacob, I'm like, I thought Jacob.
Well, later in life, maybe.
Well, he comes into this world having the seconds.
Yeah.
And treasures what he's not supposed to receive according to the common law of that day. And finds his older brother, sneers at it. Okay, so, 26. Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Oh, Abimelech.
Is this the same
guy? He's still around.
Is that the same guy? Same Abimelech?
Don't know.
Doesn't say.
It could be Abimelech, son of Abimelech.
Right.
Son of Abimelech.
Mm-hmm.
97 years have passed since Abraham's encounter with Abimelech of the Philistines. Either Abimelech was a dynastic title, or the king was a descendant of the same name.
Yep. So, verse 2.
The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live."
Okay. "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you, for to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father." Oh, really? So there's multiple phrases of the blessing here again. Verse 4.
"I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all the nations on earth will be blessed."
Mm-hmm. "Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And you remember that, don't you? Up on the mountain, don't you? Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
So Isaac is receiving the promise, that promise which was hanging in the balance when he was on Moriah. And now it's being spoken to him by God. "I will bless you." Oh, "I will be with you and will bless you. To you and your offspring I will give all these lands. I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." That's seven phrases. Back in Genesis 12, I asked you the question of the seven phrases of the blessing to Abraham, which was the most important? Remember.
I remember talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we go back to count the phrases in Genesis 12. "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed."
The last one.
Mm-hmm. The last one, the seventh one. And here in Genesis 26, "And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." The seventh one, the last one. So, verse 6.
So Isaac settled in Gerar.
Mm-hmm. And when the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said,
"She is my sister."
Again. Never likes them. History has a way of repeating itself.
Yeah. Like father, like son.
Yes. She is my sister, for he feared to say, "My wife," thinking, "lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance." Hmm. Verse 8. Shoe's going to drop fast on this one.
When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out of a window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife.
King James translates it sporting with.
Mine says caressing.
Mm-hmm.
Mine says showing endearment to.
Yeah. It's a definite euphemism.
Well, in the footnote here, it says polite expression for intimate teasing or flirting appropriate for married people. Mm-hmm. Laughing is reminiscent of Isaac's name.
Oh, really?
Oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Nice catch on that one. And, so Isaacing with Rebekah is his wife. Verse 9. So Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, she is your wife. How could you say she is my sister?" Isaac said to him, "Because I thought lest I die because of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us." So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, "Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Ooh.
Is that memory of what happened to the previous Abimelech with Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
It was like he doesn't want to go
was
there.
Was it a common
at all.
Practice or just in their family?
I don't know.
History.
Oh, you're an Abraham. That's right. You guys do this.
Well, I mean, you can kind of see this happening. Abimelech seeing this, and he turns away from the window and mutters, "That's not brother and sister. Husband and wife." And one of his counselors, whose job is to carry corporate memory, you know, says, "My lord, let me tell you, it's not the first time." And how mad would you be?
These women must have been very beautiful.
Mm. I know, right?
How mad would you be? Oh, and this is after they have two sons.
Yeah. So whose mother is your mother?
Who's your daddy?
Yeah, who's your daddy?
Yeah, this is a little bit messed up. But back in verse 3, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. I'll have your back."
Right, so if he says that, why would he bless
you? What's the phrase in the military?
I got your back.
Got your six.
Oh.
Yeah, the numbers on a clock. 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock. Got your six. Okay, so verse 12.
"Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him."
Mm-hmm. "And the man became rich and gained more and more until he became very wealthy." 14.
"He had so many flocks and herds, and servants that the Philistines envied him.
Now the Philistines had stopped and filled the earth, or the Philistines had stopped and filled with earth all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. Why?
Because they were jealous.
Why do you fill the wells?
Stopping them up.
Yeah. And then what?
Your stock
all the cattle die.
No water.
No water. And then what?
Your livestock dies, your crops die.
And then what?
Then you're poor.
And then you're
move
poor.
In and claim the land.
Move. Yeah.
And then what?
Dig it back up again and yeah. prosper.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Setting them up.
Okay. That's it's more what? Devious? No. Underhanded. More spiteful than it
was that,
looks just from filling the wells.
Was that Abimelech's command?
Hmm? What?
Was that Abimelech's command to do that?
No, the Philistines.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then who is Abimelech over?
He's
the king of the Philistines. That's what I'm saying.
Well, Abimelech, his father, was king of what? Way back when. What is...
That's what I was thinking, but I am very easily confused.
No, he's king of the Philistines.
It does, I'm like...
Yeah, he could be king of the Philistines, but his
but
people...
But that doesn't mean that he, right,
right.
commanded it.
Exactly.
Because, you know...
King doesn't know everything.
Right.
A lot of things are done
under
behind his back. Mm-hmm.
The footnote here says ancient nomadic groups would fill in the wells of adversaries in order to drive them away.
Mm-hmm. And then take over the land.
And dig them back up again.
And dig them back up again.
To dig.
Yeah.
The dirt would be.
So you know there's water there.
Yeah.
So it is quite spiteful.
So we had greed way back in the old days.
Well, it started
lots
with
of greed
the snake in the garden.
Before, yeah. before they were born.
Mm-hmm.
They were born with this Jacob disease. Yeah.
So this is coming to a head in verse 16.
And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we."
Okay. So Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there.
Wait a minute, I thought he was in Gerar.
Yeah.
It said back in 6, so Isaac stayed in Gerar.
Region or valley?
Oh. Stayed in Gerar capital and then over here encamped in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry, thinking out loud.
And verse 18.
Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found there a well of spring water, verse 20.
The herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." So he called the name of the well Issach. Another well.
Why? Because they contended with him.
Dispute.
Okay. Issach means contention or dispute. 21, then they dug another well and they quarreled over that also, so he called its name Sitnah, which means enmity. Verse 22.
He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth.
Rehoboth.
Saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land."
Okay. So Rehoboth means broad places or room. and from there he went up to Beersheba. Okay, verse 24.
And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not, for I am with you, and will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a blessing at Beersheba. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Now, the story with Abimelech is not finished yet. Verse 26. When Abimelech went to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his army. Oh, so now Abimelech's coming to see him. Why?
He's still flourishing.
Now, he's sent him away. Why is he coming? And Isaac's going to ask him. Verse 27.
Isaac said to them, why have you come to see me, to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you?
Oh, okay. They said, we see plainly that the Lord has been with you. Notice the Lord, all caps. So we said, let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you. 29.
That you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord.
And the Lord, with all caps, the covenant name of God. And... you know, they could have had range wars, like in the Wild West, but no. Abimelech straight up came to him and said, you know, depart. You're much stronger than us. And so there was a fairly peaceful parting of ways. It could have been much worse. And they've noticed that God has blessed him. And maybe Abimelech, talking to others of his counselors with corporate memory, may have gotten more of the story about the relationship between Abraham and Abimelech, father of Abimelech or grandfather of Abimelech. And maybe he realizes... now, this is the thing to do, because no matter that he does some things, God is blessing him. Okay. So, verse 30.
Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank.
In the morning they rose early and exchanged oaths, and Isaac sent them on their way, and they departed from him in peace. 32.
That same day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well that they had dug, and said to him, we have found water.
He called it Sheba. Therefore, the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. Sheba means oath. Verse 34.
When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite.
And they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. Or the Hebrew says,
is that hitting home?
They were bitterness of spirit. Esau is despising the birthright.
Now you see it coming out.
And it just And he goes off and marries a couple of girls. A couple of. Well, it's 40 years that Esau is around. And let's see, how old was Abraham when Esau and Jacob were born? 160. So Abraham got to see 15 years of Jacob and Esau. And now Esau's 40 years old. It's a good thing your grandfather's not alive.
To see this, he's going to be rolling in his grave. That's why when we get angry today, we say, you see red.
Times were bad.
I'm seeing red.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Oh. Yeah. Yes. And there is the key in this whole thing. Marrying outside of the religion.
Religion. Not a good idea.
Hmm. Okay. And we're into chapter 27. This is much less concentrated stuff, isn't it? When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son," and he answered, "Here I am." Verse 2.
He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death."
Mm-hmm. "Now then, take your weapons, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me." Verse 4.
"Prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die."
Okay.
"Get me a big steak."
Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, verse 6.
Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau."
Mm-hmm. "Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Verse 8.
"Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you."
Mm-hmm. "Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father such as he loves." Verse 10.
"Then take it to your father to eat so that he may give you his blessing before he dies."
Ah. "But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'Mother, I'm named Trickster, but this is too tricky even for me.'"
This is a conundrum, Mom.
"But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, 'Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man.'" Verse 12.
"What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could happen. His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." Verse 14.
"So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food just the way his father liked it."
Mm-hmm. Did she prepare them the way Esau prepares them?
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
You'd have to.
Cooks and yeah.
You know if he really likes garlic or not.
Between wild game and domestic.
Right.
Yeah.
Goat is the most gamey of the domesticated. How many of you eat goat? Occasionally.
I don't like deer.
Really?
It's like, you can taste the hair.
No, if you're familiar with goat, then it makes sense that it would not be sheep, but goat.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, it was hard to tell them apart back then.
They both were woolly.
Depends on what area of the world.
We had the Middle East.
Like Middle East.
Sheep and the goats are similar.
Africa. Parts of Africa, what's the difference between a goat and a sheep? sheep's tail hangs down, goat's tail stands up.
Yeah, yeah. It does.
And that's...
And it wags.
That's how you tell the difference. That was brief pop quiz from the missionary I passed. I'd read. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. Verse 16.
And the skins of the young goat she put on his hands and on the smooth parts of his neck.
Whoa. She's outdoing her son, Tricky. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. 18.
He went to his father and said, "My father?" "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?"
Now it's time for the lion to begin. Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." Verse 20.
But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord, your God, granted me success."
Or?
Mm-hmm.
Is
that deceiving by the name of the Lord?
Yeah.
Just like swearing.
So we're going to send him out and make him have two wives and work his tail off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pay for that one.
Now, what is that?
Our Lord has so much patience.
We should fear and love God so that we may not curse, swear, use witchcraft, lie, or deceive by his name.
Ooh.
Yeah, Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not."
So he's lying.
He's on to him. He's on to him. Yeah, I hope he doesn't feel the strings that are holding things in place.
That's what I always thought. If you go too far, there's got to be an end.
By the way, the footnote on the Lord your God here says Jacob did not confess Yahweh to be his own God until he returned from Haran. Questionable? Okay.
I'd call that one into question just a little bit because, you know, the Lord is your God.
Yeah.
Doesn't say he's not my God.
Right. Okay.
And he is within his father's house. So, you know, God of my fathers, and God is my father's God. And I knew that growing up. And under his roof, you know, the Lord your God. That's why I go to church. Because you looked at me.
You make me.
When I didn't want to that one day. You looked at me. And I never tried it again. And okay, where are we? Verse 22. Somebody.
Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau."
And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him.
He didn't recognize him, so he blessed him. That makes no sense.
Verse 24.
He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am."
Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Yeah, wine's a nice touch there.
Mm-hmm.
that'll help things through. 26.
Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me."
Mm-hmm. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed."
Kind of like Judas. Mm-hmm. Kissing Jesus.
Well, that's, it's the affection. Mm-hmm. And, okay, verse 28.
May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches, an abundance of grain and new wine.
Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you. Okay. There is seven lines in that blessing. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. You have to combine a bit to do that as seven. Verse 30.
As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother came in from his hunting.
Mm-hmm. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. So there's a time gap there. The preparation of food time gap. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." 32.
And his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" So he said, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau."
Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me, and I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed." Oof. 34.
When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father."
But he said, "Your brother came, Jacoby." "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." 36.
Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he has taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?"
Yeah. Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants." Oh, made him lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son? 38.
Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me even me also, oh my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept.
Oh, now he regrets it.
Yeah.
Took him a few years, didn't it?
But what is he regretting? Is Esau regretting the loss of the passing down of the promise through him? Or is he regretting the other parts?
The not getting it. He's the loss instead of the relationship.
If he had it, he wouldn't have appreciated it.
Right.
And those that despise the blessing, that blessing from Abraham on down, do not look at the promise in the Christ. They look at the other parts of the blessings. He who blesses you, God will bless, and whoever curses you, God will curse. That's nice to have. And wine and grain and servants. Okay. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high." Verse 40.
"You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck."
Oh. Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Verse 42.
When Rebekah was told what her older brother, or older son, Esau, had said, she sent for her younger son, Jacob, and said to him, "Your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thoughts of killing you."
Hmm.
Okay, he said this to himself, and then when Rebekah was told.
Well, he may have muttered it around the servants.
The word gets
around. He doesn't have self-control, does he?
No.
He likes the drama.
"Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban." Remember Laban?
Mm-hmm.
Cold, cold, cold.
Cold, cold, cold.
"Arise, flee to Laban, my brother, in Haran." Verse 44.
"And stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away."
A few days, a while. "Until your brother's anger turns away from you and he forgets what you have done to him, then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereft of you both in one day?" Verse 46.
"And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from the Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living."
So she's sick of Esau's wife. Did he take the Hittite?
No, what's she doing there?
She's setting it up for Jacob to flee.
Oh, she's just saying,
"She's
get out of here, go get a wife."
She's tricky.
She's just as tricky.
Well, you know, she got, "Let me get your camel. I'll water your camels, too."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe she is a little like Laban. Not really.
Well, she prizes the birthright, and now she wants to save the life of her son. And she's a wife and mother in a family where there's this open conflict, and she's the one who knows how to deal with all of the parties.
So wait, let me back up a little bit. So if Esau, over a bowl of soup, sold his birthright to his brother, Jacob must have gone and told Rebekah. So she must have known about that little exchange in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So if that exchange in the kitchen went on and was supposedly good, even though they didn't walk between a split animal, would God have still brought this about for Jacob? Even if they hadn't have tricked, gone through all this trickery.
Yeah.
Because
they get in there and they mess with it. Now Jacob gets to live with the sheep for 20 years.
20 years,
It's a maturing thing.
Right.
Yeah. God knows so there will be consequences.